Good evening, everyone. Can I have the roll call, please?
Can we do it?
Who's doing the roll call? Do we know?
I'll do it. Adam?
Here.
Ganaway?
Here.
Kapler?
Here.
Ormsby?
Here.
Rafferty?
Here.
Stoltenberg?
Here.
Wendland?
Here. All right. Thanks, everyone. We had minutes from the last meeting. I know we have at least one correction. Anne?
Oh, I just noticed that the meeting ended before it began. When it says at the, it said it ended at 5:15, but I don't think the meeting started till 5:30. So we think maybe it was supposed to say 5:45.
It was a quick one. So let's say the minutes are okay with the amendment to say that they concluded the meeting concluded at 5:45. Okay. With that correction, are there any other comments or questions, or do we have a motion for the minutes?
I move to approve.
I'll second.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion and a second to approve the minutes from July 15th, 2020. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Same sign. The minutes are approved. Okay, again, good evening. Welcome to the Plan and Zone Commission for August 19th, 2020. We are a recommending body appointed by the City Council to review matters of site plans and zoning and land use and such. I see a few people in the audience tonight, so at the particular time, I will recognize the audience, and if you have input for us on a particular case, I would ask you to step to the podium to my right and to your left and give us your feedback, which we would appreciate. So with that, we will begin. Greg?
Okay, trying to get this to... Mr. Chairman, our first case involves a rezoning and a final platting of an area south of 53rd Avenue and to the west of Middle Road. It will be the fourth edition of the Woodlands, and you can get access to it basically by entering through Lakeside Drive or entering along Woodland Drive and then making your way further to the north vis-a-vis two other entries. The area in question is right here. It is UMI and its designation for land use, so the R2 zoning that the petitioner is seeking is permitted in that area. This is the Woodlands as it was first proposed as a preliminary plat, and the area in green is the area essentially that's being sought for final platting. There is an area down here that at one time was included in another subdivision, so that's not a part of this, even though this diagram here would tend to make one indicate and think that that was a part of it. It is not. This is the final plat of the Woodlands, showing again the Lakeside Drive area, and staff would ask that there be connections if needed for a hammerhead at the end of that terminus. This will be connected here. The Stonebridge Lane will be a part of this connection already. And then we have Woodland Court terminating and filling out that area. Staff, in reviewing this proposal, would recommend approval with the conditions listed in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
All right, thank you, Greg. Mark, anything since publication for updates from staff?
No, Mr. Chairman, there's not.
All right, thank you. Question or comments from the commissions regarding this case? Pretty straightforward. Anyone on Zoom? Are we on Zoom or Facebook?
Mr. Chairman, I do have a question.
Yeah, Paul.
Yeah, this is Paul Rafferty, sorry. The outlets A and B, what's the ownership of those? Who's going to take care of them? That sort of thing.
Could you guys hear that? Paul was asking what the ownership of your two outlots, outlot A and B.
Yeah, read B is the detention basin, A is the drainage way on that west side.
Yeah, both outlets are owned and maintained by the Association of the Woodlands, so they will be taking care of those.
Okay.
Did you hear that okay, Paul? The HOA would own both of those. Okay.
Thank you.
Anyone else online?
Thank you. This is Joe. I have a question as well, mostly about Outlot A. Follow up Paul's remarks. I had occasion to walk over there over the weekend, and I noticed that's a really deep gulch. Looks like it's going to require an awful lot of excavation work. Is that intended to be sort of a pond, like other little pond areas in the Woodlands area, with fountains and that sort of thing? Is that the intention of Outlot A?
Outlot A is already a wet pond. It's already built, finished, and seeded around it.
Reed, will that be extending that pond, enlarging it all, or is that its full size?
The pond is built to full size. If he's talking about Outlet B, that will be seeded. Basically, it's pretty much degraded as it is right now, so it'll just be seeded in progress.
Reed, I think he wasn't referring to the other lot A.
Outlot A that's shown on the plat.
Yeah, he was showing
A. I was talking about the lot. It's marked Lot A.
Greg, can you show in where between, Lot A is? Outlot A, please.
In between residents 6 and 7 on the west.
Got
and
it.
Between 11 and 12 on the east.
Yep. Yeah, Outlot A is going to be the same thing as Outlot B, basically. It's going to be a grass waterway for water that is coming down off of Lakeside Drive. It does need some fill up towards the Lakeside Drive end of it, but on the southern end of it, it is pretty much degraded as it is right now.
Does the pond?
The Lakeside Drive will continue. Lakeside Drive will then continue westward beyond Lot 25 and 26 into a cul-de-sac. Is that right? Is that the plan?
Yes, we have a. Greg can switch over to a master plan and show you the rest of the continuation.
You have Pine Creek right here, and then you have.
So, Joe, that will not be a detention basin. What Outlot A is an emergency overflow path from the low point in the road, which happens to end right at the west edge of the subdivision. So anywhere we have low points, we have to give, because we only size our storm sewers for a 10-year event, we have to give a 100-year emergency overland flow path. Generally ends up being between yards, but in this case, because it's falling right at the edge of the subdivision, they plotted it as a outlot.
And just a follow-up question to Paul's as well. This is a part of an association where homeowners pay a fee for the upkeep of the outlots. Is that right?
That is correct.
Thank you.
Roy, this is Ann.
Yeah.
I just have a question, I think, more for my own education and to understand the plat mapping. There's a notation for a row A, row B, and row C. Can you have Greg explain what does that mean?
That area is right of way. That's what it's being called out as.
Right.
Instead of what we saw before where are like lot A, B, C, but it's right of way.
Okay.
And
that's the street, basically.
Yes.
Okay. I just don't recall seeing that on our flats before, and maybe in a smaller font, and I wasn't paying very close attention. Thank you.
Anyone else online or here? No? Anyone else in the audience with regard to this case? Nope. Okay, we'll come back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case number 20-045, subject to staff recommendations.
I second that.
Okay, thank you. We've got Scott with the motion and Janessa with the second to approve case 20-045 rezoning. Am I on the right? Nope. Yeah, rezoning. So we got two on this one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Correct. Yep. Like it.
Okay. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Okay. Case 20-045 is recommended for approval. Take 20-047.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we also approve case number 20-047, subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second that, too.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion and a second to approve case 20-047, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you. Case 20-047 is recommended for approval. Okay, next one, Greg.
Mr. Chairman, this involves a replatting as well as a site plan. And what you're looking at is lots 5 through 9 of the Gen Ventures Devil's Glen Medical Park addition as platted back in 2003. And these lots have undergone a variance procedure to lessen the boundary here with what is a C2 here. And even though this area is A1, the use that is here is pretty much an industrial use that was grandfathered in originally as an area that was almost kept as a storage area, and then it was minimized and made smaller as the storage was placed indoors. So essentially, even though this is zoned A1, this use is not permitted in A1. It's grandfathered in, and then the Board of Adjustment reduced this down to 15 feet, this area right here, for a rear yard setback area for buffer. This is the original plat with the utility easement running through lot 5, major utilities running, storm and sanitary running through there, and then the vacation of this access easement here and this easement here. And this one will be a part of this, as along also with some of the other easements that are located in these 5 lots. Final plat shows this is one entire lot to be known as Tanglefoot Crossing Edition. Portion of this will have 52 units here of townhouses, and the remaining portion will be eventually multifamily. There will be at some point another means of entry that is anticipated for this particular lot, but at the present, the site plan involves this area here. Staff, in looking at the landscaping proposal, would note that there's a deficiency even when we have the new landscape proposal shown on the doc cam. We still have, for this area, even in these trees are counted, a -4 count for just this multifamily area here. And then we are still short 14 trees in this area. So we'll have to work something out potentially with the developer. And one idea that we do have is substituting arborvitae and giving a tree count of 2 arborvitae equal to 1 of these deciduous overstory, and they'll fit in thinner, maybe create a better barrier at the same time meeting the tree count. This is an example of what the project will look like. It's one that was built in Davenport. And these are the elevations from behind. And I believe we have another photo right here to show what the intended build out is and how it would look, and it pretty much replicates what I showed before. Staff, in reviewing this proposal, would recommend approval with the conditions that are listed in the report. I would ask, are there any questions on both of these items before the P&Z?
Thanks, Greg. Mark, any updates since publication and what Greg's presented?
No, I think Greg did a good job. We do have, just for, so you know, that what would be that westernmost lot that's not developed, that is potential development in the future with some type of multifamily or multiplex unit. So that is developable in the future, and the constraint on that will be the available units per acre per our ordinance for that area. So what they build out here appears to will meet the density requirements, and then they'll also have the same density requirement because it's zoned the same, will be for that 1 acre as well. I think that's about 40 plus or minus, if I'm not mistaken.
So the intent for that undeveloped lot at this point would be multifamily in the future then, rather than commercial?
Correct. That's what they're anticipating at this point, but as they don't have a final plan yet, they did not want to bring it forward.
I have a question. Right above where it says lot one, there's a note that says access from Tanglefoot Lane shall be allowed only from the locations shown on this plat. But then, Greg, you mentioned possibly in the future there would be an additional one close to the corner of Devil's Glen. And
It's shown on the plat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so those would be the approved locations,
okay.
Correct. And it's actually significantly further away from the intersection than was previously approved on that first plat. It's about 100 foot, maybe 120 foot further east, so it's definitely an improvement for us.
Okay.
And so if I remember correctly, that is two lanes right there. Are there any adjustments that will be done with the road for turn lanes or?
All the turn lanes are actually already in.
Okay.
The road is five lanes wide right there.
It is.
Just that first 400 feet, and then it tapers back down to the two lane.
Okay.
So any future widening would all be on the north side. So that south side, that's why the sidewalks all along in is already installed along there, because we're built out at that point.
I'm just looking at the map too, Brent, while we're looking at, we've got multifamily residential, not very dense, but on the west side of Devil's Glen there. So there is some housing set back and pretty well buffered on the west side of Devil's Glen. Is there any housing on the east side of Devil's Glen as you go along? I'm thinking everything there is commercial. I'm just
so
feeling
actually their previous project, it doesn't front Devil's Glen, but the
it sits back
from
by
the Tangled Wood. Mm-hmm. And then obviously we have the new one up at the corner of Devil's Glen and 53rd.
Yeah. Just seems like the flavor through there seems to be commercial right there, rather than that might be a good place for the transitional of multifamily commercial, but we'll see what comes. Questions and comments from the commission?
Yeah. Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
Paul Rafferty here.
Go ahead, Paul.
I would like to know what the density is of the Pheasant Hills development and the one across the street there at Cedar Wood.
Those were done back in the 70s.
I don't think we could give that to you right now. We'd have to go back to the office and calc that.
Okay, well, I think that it's obvious, just looking at the picture here, the photo, that this is a much more congested layout than what is prevalent in that area, except for the one development on the top of the hill there, which I think was subject of a lot of complaints from the council here last year. I don't know why we want to replicate that. I'm surprised that you guys are recommending this one. I'm not surprised that you can't get enough landscaping, since basically you've got just a square, a rectangle of concrete. You know, I don't see any green space. I don't see any really redeeming values of why we want to approve this.
Sure, I guess I can answer that on behalf of staff. You know, our analysis is based on the code, and it does meet the code. It does have that setback that has been increased by council recently. It also does provide some screening to what is really a non-conforming use with the existing storage units. And we did give a, through the Board of Adjustment, did give them a bit of encroachment onto those units, which actually increases the screening capability. And, you know, by code interpretation, it meets the code. So taste is another thing, and I certainly understand where you're coming from and looking at that as a very dense development, and that's different than what we see in a lot of places in Bettendorf. But per code analysis, I'm not sure staff could, in good faith, offer a denial.
I submit that it wouldn't meet code if it hadn't been for an Board of Adjustment allowance, and the fact that you can't get enough landscaping around it is another reason it doesn't meet code. And I don't know why we're bending over backwards to get something approved that I don't think anybody on the board would approve, would like.
Yes, I understand your comments, and
I could take the other perspective of Paul's as a, I won't say as a younger person, as someone a different generation maybe in Bettendorf. When I have know of friends and family looking for, or younger families looking for affordable housing in Bettendorf, there's a need for it. I don't know if necessarily townhouses would fall into that. If it's townhouses are, you can tell me, are townhouses pretty similar to like an apartment? Is there a difference between a townhome and an apartment housing?
They will be at a lower rental price per foot, but because they're larger, it will be slightly higher in absolute terms for rents.
So these are, I thought townhomes, that they were condos. So these are apartments, rental apartments then?
They were all townhomes for rent.
Rental townhomes. Okay.
Yeah, it's the same product that they built on Devil's Glen, but it is only a two-story building. Those are three-story.
Okay.
You know, garages are on the front here, whereas the garages were under on that project.
And then as far as being, I would say, location-wise, being close to Devil's Glen, that's probably going to be beneficial to a lot of people, too, just in proximity to things they can ride bikes to. And I guess just saying as from the community aspect, I think that there is benefit to it.
And if I may respond to Paul's concerns.
I'm going to have to take an exception to that because I feel like there's more to a house or a home than just a place to park your car and go to sleep. There should be space there for children to play. There should be space for other amenities, and there isn't any. And so what this developer is doing is relying on the city to provide all of that.
But the city has already provided it. We have a bike path there. You have a park down on Devil's Glen Road. I mean, I built a house just a couple years ago that's for sale now, and they told me their reason was they wanted to live somewhere where they could bike to different things in town. They didn't want to be close to, like, just in a neighborhood. Just, like, I don't know, necessarily so much in a neighborhood as they wanted to be able to ride their bikes or walk to different amenities. So everybody kind of wants something different in housing, and I think
and right, there's plenty of places to put this. Downtown would be a wonderful place for this. There are bike paths.
I have a question. Paul, you'd mentioned this is Joe.
Yeah, Joe.
Apparently there was, I wasn't on the board maybe when this was approved, but I walk past this unit every day, and I'm curious. I was rather impressed with how they were able to situate so many townhomes in this facility, in this development, along Devil's Glen Road on the east side, just as you approach 53rd Avenue. And is that considered to been a controversial decision to implement that?
Yes.
Because there is, as you say, there's no playground area other than maybe the park next door.
And I bet you that's not as dense as what we have here.
If I could jump in.
There's more around the area you're talking about than there is around this place right here.
I would just comment, I've been actually impressed with how the development has worked. I haven't had any, I think it's rather attractive in what they did with that. I was really surprised how they got so many townhomes in such a condensed area. As to whether or not it's suitable for, you know, children to play in. I don't know. I know it is across the street from the, I think it's across the street from the Y, isn't it? On Tanglewood Lane.
This one is, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
I wouldn't I don't have a strong view really one way or the other on this project.
Okay. So let me finish our internal discussion.
I'd like to speak to support your line of thinking. I realized today that this project is the same developer as a little bit farther up the road, and you've already referenced that property, and when it was completed, we had several discussions as we were amending the code about the density of that property and some concerns about the density. And I'm not a density expert, but thinking about the property that's south of there at the corner of Tanglewood and this property, I would venture to guess that this is a lot more dense than what we looked at previously. So I concur with what you're saying. We've eliminated a setback. We still can't fit in all the trees. It's basically concrete from stem to stern. And so you've got housing units and a parking lot, basically. And that's, I don't know. I understand that it meets the code, and that really is our benchmark. I'd like to see something that's not quite so dense.
I think this is one of those times when, yeah, it may meet the code, but this is where we have to step up as commissioners and say, this doesn't meet the neighborhood requirement. And that's where we also got an easement letter. Evidently, there's not enough room to put the utilities. They have to have additional space to put the utilities. So I think that if he came back to us with something, not as many units, that might be the right thing to do. I personally feel like this area should be commercial. I think that's what the corner's going to be. We'll probably see another gas station there. But, I think that this is going to be commercial. And if you look at where this is, I just don't think this is the appropriate amount of building for that area.
I had another question. Mark, you mentioned screening on the, that would be the south side. Is that correct?
Yeah, my point was that the development does offer some screening from an existing, what I would say would be a special use or kind of non-conforming use, and the fact that we have allowed those storage units to be placed there. And so this would, in some ways, in some lines of sight, provides screening from those storage units.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. But if I live in one of those units, I'm looking at a storage building.
Right.
You could be. Yep.
And then piggyback on what Paul said earlier, if you look at the west boundary, the setback there is so short, so small. If commercial goes in on that corner, then these townhouses are basically sitting right on top of whatever it is. Maybe it's another car wash on Devil's Glen Road. I don't know. There's not room for a buffer there.
How many feet is that west between setback between the west property line and the building? How much have we got there?
In that distance?
And it looks like there's quite a slope, so all the units are showing patio pads and fencing in the back, and yet I'm looking at it looks like a pretty substantial grade differential there.
I can address that if you'd like.
Yeah.
We intend to pour patios on top of a modular block. Some type of retaining wall modular block to address the changing grade.
Okay.
With a privacy fence on top of it.
And on the tree count, I noticed in the picture that we show the ones in Davenport, you've got trees in the little finger islands between the garage doors. Are there trees or no trees in the little finger islands between the driveways here?
there will be a tree in every island, so that tree count will come up substantially.
So for one hurdle, do we see that we're able to satisfy the tree count at this point then?
Yes, sir, without a doubt.
Okay. We're just not up to speed on that yet then. Okay. That's one. Paul, I share a lot of your concerns and perspectives, and I'm going to go both ways here. This is going to sound like I don't know what I'm doing. On one hand, I think it's too much concrete and too dense, and it's not what I would want to live in, and that's why there's more than one opinion in the world in chocolate and vanilla. But what I've seen and come to learn through this whole process over the years, there appears to be, and that's the test of it all, a market for this product. So to the fact that it does meet the code, I think it does have to meet the landscape code. We have to get the trees. But I think there is enough demand, and this is a rather challenging parcel to develop, being long and narrow, but it is concrete wall to wall. They did get 15 feet off the other end, which, frankly, I probably wouldn't have done if I was on the Board of Adjustment, but I'm not. So it's not where I'd want to live, but I think to Janessa's point as well, there are a number of people that would like to live there. They don't care about the yard. I would care about the yard. I had some other challenges about where's the trash. Will this be individual garbage cans, or are we going to have collective individual garbage cans?
That will be correct.
So is this, I just look at this and I watch the guy come to my house and pick up the garbage, and I'm like, how in the world is he going to go through here and pick up the garbage? And the snow, where is the snow going? You know, and there's some logistical things that are a challenge for me, which when the developer stands up, we'll get some more feedback on. But I'm personally kind of twixt in between on this one, Paul. There's a lot of it I don't like, but the product seems to be selling and renting in the market, so I think I have to give some consideration to that from the subjective standpoint.
Well, Ron, I appreciate that. I guess where I'm at is that, you know, these things will sell no matter where they are. So that's not the criteria. The criteria is, where does he want to put it? Is it appropriate for the neighborhood? I think if you look at the neighborhood, it's not appropriate. Look across the street at those houses, those developments. Look right across. You've got plenty of green space around the Genesis property. And you've got complaints from people about a similar development on top of the hill by Tanglewood. Look at Tanglewood. Look how nice that is. That's commercial. You know, look at the commercial coming right down along Devil's Glen there. And then you go further up to where Joseph was talking. We've had complaints about that development. And this is worse than both of them. And I think that it just does not fit in this space. If he wants to do this, there are other places in the town that this can be placed, and it would be appropriate.
Thanks for the comments, Paul. Anyone else online for additional comments or questions?
I'm just thinking one of the reasons that this seems to be promoted as a great opportunity or possibility is to hide the storage unit area, and wonder what will be done for the residents to not have that be in their sight line if that's such a negative amenity too.
Well, we had a similar issue than one of them they were referencing, and down at the farther north on Devil's Glen at 53rd, there they look out at the substation. I mean, that's their view,
yeah.
And yet they're renting and marketing, and again, it surprises me, but it's working. And
Sometimes people care more about location than they do. I mean, yeah.
They don't look out the window. You know?
No, they are there to sleep and to eat and then go out for the rest of their day. And it's more location, location, location than it is a majestic view.
I hear both sides of this.
Good, you're with me. I'm glad you're somewhere with me on
this. It is dense. I'm worried about the garbage pickup. That seems crazy that a truck has to stop at 52 locations in one area. The snow removal, I would assume that the builders have a spot that they think it can be pushed. Mm-hmm. I question how long those trees are going to last in the little islands, especially if we have a bad winter. Those are all concerns about the density there. However, I do disagree with Paul on location. I would rather see that here or downtown than sitting out in one of the new fields or the new development areas. Here, again, you've got those units behind you. You've got the Y across the street and commercial across the street. There isn't going to be any residential neighbors that really are going to have to look at it and worry about it. And I still say when somebody builds something on the corner of Devil's Glen and Tanglewood Road, the developer's other development won't be as obvious that it sits up on the hill. But I think it is a good spot, and I also agree with what Janessa says, but it's not up for us to decide who wants to rent these and live in them. I wouldn't either. Maybe downtown with something like that, looking at the river maybe, but not in that location. But somebody obviously would, or you wouldn't be building them. But it is awful dense, and the garbage pickup and the snow removal and the tree count.
Yeah, there's a comment.
Does concern me.
And they're about the fire department requirements for internal turning radii, too. Do you know if there's a plan in place for that, Brent?
Mike, I believe you guys have verified that, have you? The turning radius? I mean, you also have to keep a scale that we're thinking. I mean, these are 24-foot islands or 24-foot driveways, which is a standard for any parking lots. That's, civil engineering 101 through there.
Yeah, I mean, we've definitely looked at the emergency vehicle turning movements, and I know that the emergency personnel people at the city are looking at it, I haven't gotten an official response from them. If they have any issues, we'll be happy to address it. So, but in my opinion, it's fully functional.
I know, even in a little tag-on comment to that, we had discussed at one point, too, a concern about when buildings are so very close to each other. You know, and a fire starts, how do you stop it from spreading to all the buildings when it's high density like this?
Can you address a little bit for us the discussion on where's the snow? We know about the trash, but what's the plan for the snow? Because with driving like this, I'm assuming you got to go with the blade, come up to the garage door, pull it back, get it into the aisle, and move it out. So tell me about your snow removal plan.
As far as stockpiling the snow, at the end of those two drive lanes to the east and west, we can push it straight south. The same thing where the parking lots terminate north and south. There's also, some built-in storage in those islands.
So you're going to handle all the snow. Now, you're only got 15 feet before you're on Kellner's storage area there, right? To the south, if you're pushing snow
down?
That
is correct. Right. He raises the point. That's 60 feet wide in the center parking area, as well as the east and west, the driveway and the drive lane. So 60 feet by 15 is substantial substantial area.
You'd be storing snow on your parking area?
No, that's the width of the parking area. So
the area is north and south of those. They're like you said, there's 15 feet.
Oh, the 15 and the
and 60 wide.
60 wide.
Okay.
What they're saying.
So 40 on the east and west and 60 in the center for width, and then 15 feet in depth.
And so when it's full of cars parked and everything all over there, you plow that all in there?
Yes. We provide all of the snow removal. Regarding the trash pickup, we've demonstrated in two other communities that we've completed recently, and in both of those, very similar site plan, one of them on just north on Tanglewood and the other one in Davenport. And no issues to date. I haven't received any reports of an issue from Public Works of trash pickup. We, of course, sign a hold harmless with the city, but it has not proven to be an issue.
Yeah, there's really only four homes out of the 52 that would require the truck to back up. The truck could come in on the west end. It's going to be able to pick up those first four, turn left, pick up all the ones on the south,
okay,
turn right, and then it will have to back up to get those last two, but then you're heading west, and you know the pickup arm's always on the right-hand side.
Side,
so
yeah.
It'll be able to hit all those lots to the north and head out. Yes, it's a lot of stops. It's stop and starts, but you know, unfortunately, that's what the vehicles are made for.
And I would just like to say, we fully understand the concerns expressed by members of the public, as well as this council, regarding some of the other recent townhome developments, particularly the one on Middle Road, just south of the roundabout. And in order to address those concerns, we have worked with city staff hand in hand over the last pushing 6 months now to refine this plan. We have reduced building height and density and worked together to get to a plan that not only has staff support, but that we do feel is the highest and best use for this site and will generate $10 million just in this first phase of tax base for the city. And I do want to make some important distinctions between what we are proposing and some of the other more controversial projects. First and foremost, these will be two-story and not three, like what we saw on Middle Road. So the building height will be much lower, and all of the units in each building will be the same color. I know that was a point of contention. The photo that you saw on the screen was very much what they will look like. That was a nearly identical project we just completed. In accordance with the recently passed ordinance requiring a 35-foot front yard setback, these units will be much further from the road than any of the other projects that have been completed in the last couple of years. And I'm not sure if that was something that everyone picked up in the staff report. These will be 10 feet further back than all of the other projects that we've seen recently. There will also be a berm, which has not been in place in some of the other more recent projects. Excuse me. And as far as any deficiencies in the landscaping package, we will absolutely make sure to continue working with city staff to remedy that so there is a robust landscaping package for providing a screen. Whereas the project on Middle Road came over the opposition of the neighbors, before we came to this committee, we approached the neighboring property owner to the south and received a letter of support for this project, which I believe was included in your packet. That being said, it's important to consider the adjacent zoning as well. These townhomes do not back up to single family. We're backing up to an industrial use, and you know, we will serve as a nice screen. Regarding the density, and Brent, correct me if I'm wrong, but at 3,000 feet per unit and 5 acres, we would be allowed 72, and we're proposing 52. Now, the corner may someday be multifamily, and that may change the math down the road, but as it stands, we could put 72 units in, and we're proposing 52. So
And you do meet, so using one of your previous concepts that had a two-lot subdivision here, the area to the west, the future development, they had it approximately 1.35 acres, which left 3.65 acres and change for this, what we're seeing in front of us, and that calced out to 54 units, and they have 52 that are being provided. So they meet the density as it stands. And if, yes, I guess, as Kevin's saying, if you took the full 5 acres and change, they would be allowed up to 70-some units.
Okay, yeah, because I was looking at the notes, and it was talking about we're at 3,053 square feet per unit, mm-hmm. and the threshold's 3,000, so we're just in the just
and
in
that
the
would
gate.
Be the 54 to 52.
Yeah,
but that is to be clear, that presumes cutting out 1.3 acres, which
right.
we're leaving it as one lot now because that is a big unknown. So on the one lot that we're talking about here, it's 5 acres, so that would allow a unit count of 72, and we're asking for 52.
It's platted as one lot, so you get to count technically the whole acreage.
So we're...
How many townhomes in each unit?
Each unit there is an individual townhome, so there's 52. That's a two-story, which has a garage, living area on the main floor, and living area above.
There looks like there's four 10-unit and two 6-unit Is that what you're asking?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Oh, I may have misunderstood. Yes.
Yeah. That's the same thing, Kevin. Yep.
But yeah. Yeah. As far as parking goes, in your other projects, have you seen the additional 20 stalls being enough to hold guests and people coming? I mean, not that people do guests as much anymore, but...
Someday, hopefully. This is the most parking we've ever put into a project. We are certainly cognizant that that's a concern that people have. So we've achieved 4.38 stalls per unit here, and I believe code is 2. In our opinion, above and beyond.
Now that 4 encompasses 2 in the garage and
right.
2 in the front, plus the 20 shared.
That's, okay. I was just doing the math. I was like, wait a second. 2, 3, 4.
Mr. Chairman, as a point of reference for that, I don't know if it matters or not, but the Bridges Lofts over here, I know it's an apartment, highly dense unit, but whenever that was calced for 132 units, that was calced in with a calculation total of 176 stalls for 132 units. And that developer stated to us that at no given time has he been higher than 80% parking capacity.
Really?
And they're 100% occupied.
Yeah, we had a lot of heartburn on that one.
Yes,
about the...
That's a nice follow-up.
I think there was
Thanks
a promise to develop more parking once the bridge work was done and all those things
that's
to
correct.
Make it work.
And that's their on-site parking with not calculating anything in from public parking or on-street, et cetera. So... just as a frame of reference, they stayed at almost 100% occupancy. They've never been higher than 80% parked.
Thank you. That's interesting. Yeah. Other questions and comments from the commission?
I'd like to reframe my earlier comments. I do share Paul's concern about the density, but I really appreciate Kevin's efforts to make the appearance of the project as appealing as possible based on some of the feedback that we've been giving on prior projects. And I think you've done a really good job of that. Janessa, I hear what you're saying. We have some young families moving into our neighborhood. I live just off of Devil's Glen Road in Deerbrook, which is about 2 miles south of there. And we have people in our neighborhood who walk to that area because they like some of the businesses there and they prefer to walk than drive. So I think there is a lot of validity to what you're saying about the appeal to different age groups as far as what they're looking for in housing. And I do think this offers a different price point. And Kevin, I'm gonna give you credit that you've already done one project in this quarter and it's obviously successful, so you must feel that you can replicate that success here, and I don't think you'd be doing it otherwise. I don't like the density. To me seems over the top, but that's my personal opinion. That's not the code. I'm not going to put my name on the waiting list to move in. And if there's people, if this is what people are looking for, then why not have them find it in Bettendorf?
Thanks, Ann. Anyone else online or in person?
Question for, I don't know if it's Greg or Brandt. At what stage do we require a unit like this to have dumpsters?
Ultimately, it just depends on whether or not the geometrics of it, if we can serve it. We do not have a threshold in city code. If we can serve it, if we can get the truck through and operationally we're okay with it, then we will serve it. If we cannot, we will require them to put a dumpster in.
Just my opinion from a fiscal standpoint, I would think that would be something, if others would agree, that should be looked at. Because I think that's a cost that could be the city could save some money.
Obviously, they'll be paying solid waste fees, though, at that point, so mm-hmm. It should be cost neutral.
Okay. And I actually learned something today. I asked the garbage question earlier
yes.
when I was reviewing this, and Mark informed me, and it makes plenty of sense, that shorter is better for economics. If you had these same 52 units in a subdivision, you'd be traveling a lot longer distance to accomplish the same pickup. So actually, it's more efficient for the city, not for the brakes maybe, but because you can't speed up. So actually, it might be better. I actually called the city last week because the truck was picking up my stuff and his brakes were literally smoking because he had been stopping, starting, stopping, starting. So here he won't have that chance to speed up and slow down all that inertia again, but there is an advantage actually to the city to have, am I saying that right, Mark, closer pickup?
Yeah, certainly density has, for any city, has some reduced cost of infrastructure and services. So if you're driving less, you're running less services per mile to serve the same amount of people, you have a fiscal savings.
Don't take that as an endorsement for increased density from Roy, though.
Yeah.
Okay, just for the record. So
I took that as you're good at spinning facts in different ways.
Yeah, well, it was an interesting point of view. It's like, okay, I get you. So, all right, anyone else online or in person, comments or questions regarding this case? Well, actually, two cases.
During construction, will the walking path still be workable?
We'll make sure that stays open. There may be a short period of time when they're constructing their entrances that they'll have to close it, but otherwise, yes, that will need to remain open.
Any other further comments from the audience, Kevin? Nope. Okay, I'll return to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case number 20-046, Tanglefoot Crossing replat, subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion and a second to approve case 20-046, subject to staff recommendations, which I'll clarify to be including meeting the tree count. Any discussion on the motion or before I vote? Paul, any further comments?
No, I think you know how I'm going to vote.
Yes, okay. Just want to give you a chance. All right, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Okay, that was Paul. Thanks, Paul. I really do appreciate your input and perspective. I think that's what helps make us good as a board, is the different dynamics and perspectives and talking them through. So I do appreciate that. So, all right, case 20-050.
Yep, Mr. Chairman, I'll move to approve case number 20-050, site development plans subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second that also.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion and a second to approve case 20-050, site development plan. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Paul, same aye. Sign? Yep. Were there two opposed or one? Just one?
I think just me.
Okay. All right. That is recommended for approval. And I think that brings us to staff updates. Or commission updates.
I will just have you note that the agenda did include the withdrawal. It was noted withdrawn for the Hy-Vee grocery pickup.
Mm-hmm.
And the story there is I believe that Hy-Vee's taking a close look at how they want to provide this service at all their locations, and they're going to really get it right before they enter that market with the build out. So it's coming, and I think it's coming to a lot of our sectors, not just grocery. So that's the update on that one. I have nothing further unless Greg or Brent are.
Yeah, just to bootstrap on that for a second, though, I had sent an article to you, and I think it was Decker a few weeks ago,
yeah,
out of the Wall Street Journal, and it was talking about businesses and the ability of them to survive COVID in this new environment that they found themselves in. And one aspect of it was obviously the drive-through capability. There's businesses that literally have gone broke because of their inability to service from the new norm. And I said, it's something, and I don't know if it makes sense from a staff level now or city level, but we might want to rethink or relook at how we perceive drive-throughs. It might be something just like masks that get to be the norm. And anyway, I thought it might be something worth a look and a visit. And maybe proactive rather than reactive. And I love the approach Mark and I talked earlier about Hy-Vee stepping back, trying to make sure they do it right and do it right holistically throughout their organization. And we've got the same opportunity in Bettendorf. So I hope we take that and kind of see where it goes. But I think we've got a new norm, and we should help businesses survive in the future and accommodate it somehow. So that's my editorial. Anything else for the good of the order? All right, we're adjourned.